I think we're living in the glory days right now. I mean, the Jays have had glory days. Yes, 92, 93. Of course, we all remember that. But man, we are loving what we're living through right now, aren't we? Evan Bray, good to have you here on this Thursday morning. Last night, I am so frustrated to tell you this. Last night, Jody and I are sitting in front of the TV ready to watch the Jays game. Ready. In fact, sitting there to watch the national anthem, which I'm not even going to start on right now because I don't want to start the morning off with a bad mood. So we'll pump that to a little bit later on. I'll talk about the anthem. I decide to run out to the garage quickly as the game is starting to throw the garbage out, grab a drink. We have a little drink fridge in the garage. Grab a drink out of the fridge. I come back in the house. I can see and hear the screaming on TV. I say, what did I miss?
Game five is underway with a fly ball to deep left. Gone! The first pitch of the ball game. And Davis Schneider has hit it out.
Shame on me for missing the very first pitch of the ball game. But how exciting was that to start the game? Davis Schneider. Didn't even know he was going to be playing in the game till what, 2 hours before the game. He goes in. Did you see the online video that his dad posted? I didn't catch this online, but Greg Morgan, the host of the CJME Morning Show, had this on his show this morning. This is the video of Davis Schneider's dad reacting to his son's home run. How genuine. I mean, come on. There isn't a parent out there that can't relate to what that feeling must have been like for his dad reacting to that home run. So, yeah, I'm out of the house. I missed the home run. Vladdy comes to the plate. Second pitch to Vladdy, home run. And then, boy, the game just went from there. Guerrero Jr., by the way, now ranks either first or tied for first in postseason hits, extra base hits, walks, and home runs for the Blue Jays. And how about Treyu Savage? This story just keeps writing chapter after chapter, and he is writing himself into the record books. A performance on the mound last night, striking out 12 Dodgers in this game, one run, three hits. And don't forget this kid, 22 years old, started out in A-ball, ends up playing, he's what, got a $57,000 contract or something? Yeah, I mean, sure, there'll be a bonus. His bonus will be four times, should they win the World Series, than what his salary was. He's out there pitching to guys that are making more in a game than he makes the entire season. But, I mean, this will help him with contract tops, that's for sure. But it's the whole team, isn't it? Bo Bichette, Alejandro Kirk. I mean, you can't help but love that guy. Addison Barger. I know I'm a big fan of Addison Barger. Yesterday, I heard on the Blue Zone in the afternoon, Jamie and Locker saying, if you get a Blue Jays jersey and you're putting a name on it, whose name are you putting on it? It probably would be Barger for me. I just think that guy is all round, offensively, defensively, so strong. Is this a team of destiny? I mean, that's the question I'm asking. Is this a team of destiny? They're up 3-2 in the series. They had a 6-1 win last night. They play tomorrow night in their last two games, of course, in Toronto, so in Canada. They're at home. This feels like a team of destiny to me. And it's, you know, I said this, was chatting with a couple of people at work here this morning, and I said, teams can have a bunch of superstars. But it's the way this team gels that feels different. You see them when they cut to the dugout, they're having fun. Vladdy's dancing. They're supporting one another. You got Barger sleeping on Davis Schneider's couch. You got Treyu Savage making that move from A-ball to the World Series. Vladdy and Bo playing minor league ball together, now chasing each other around the bases. They're on first and third. You know, I mean, watching them run the bases, scoring runs, talking about this being part of their dream, this feels like a different team. It's not about individual superstars. It really is about the team. And I don't throw out that word destiny very often, but it sure feels like it to me. And I'm curious to know your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. You know, I had to laugh. This to me is what the Jays have done. My sister-in-law, Kelly, who I love dearly, she's a big hockey fan. Hockey's big in our family. I don't think I've ever in my life talked to her about baseball. She was texting me. She was texting me last night through the game. I mean, people are pumped up. People that don't normally watch ball are watching ball. This is good for baseball. This is good for the Toronto Blue Jays. This is good for Canada. I firmly believe that. Good for Canada. At a time where I feel like we need to be brought together. 1-877-332-8255. James, is this destiny, James?
Well, it sure looks like it's an expression of what life is all about. You know, the Blue Jays run has not been a singular straight line. We recall when we lost to the Mariners and we felt that hope was gone, only to conquer once again, right? And it's the Mad Hatters that we have on the team that all of a sudden kind of make us all think that, well, even my role as a utility individual, I still can contribute greatly. And I think that becomes an expression for how we see ourselves as Canadians. And so I think it to be an interesting, it's not only like on our team, it's not only the top three players that you ever have to pay attention to. It's the people of the platoon of the 7, 8, 9 batters, right? Mm-hmm.
Deep in the
great contributions. And we just think back to when Barger made that error on that pop-up when he was playing third base. And it's such an expression because, you know, like all of a sudden he was the worst player in the world playing third base, but right field, he can do no wrong. Like, did you see that man's cannon at the throwout at home plate? 98 miles an hour at home plate from right field? Like, my God, that's not just the most incredible athletic capacity that we have. And then Schneider with his own little, you know, kind of porn cop kind of look, him, if you will. But it's a lovable character.
Oh, right? That, you know what, James? What you just said right there sums it up. It's a lovable bunch. You watch Bo Bichette limping around the bases, and Alejandro Kirk still can't catch him, right? But yet you love these guys because they bring so much to the game, to the field, to us in our homes watching. It's quite something. It really is. And this coming from, and I've said this before, a guy who's not necessarily the biggest Jays fan in the world. Okay, I'm going to get this out of the way. I said I would do it a little bit later in the morning, but we got lots to talk about, so we may never come back to the Jays this hour. Depends on what you want to talk about. The national anthem. You heard me worked up the other night. In fact, just because I like to get my blood pressure up just after 9 in the morning, I'll remind you of what we were subjected to.
Grammy-nominated Canadian singer-songwriter, J.P. Sachs.
Oh, Canada, our home, our native land.
So, you heard me freak out about that yesterday or the other day. I'm not going to get back into it now. But so that's why I've made a point now of watching the national anthems. Last night, Rufus Wainwright, couldn't tell you a thing this guy sings, but I know he's been around the scene for a long time. He's singing the national anthem. Here you go.
Oh, Canada, our home and native.
So far better than J.P. Sachs. Got the words right there.
True patriot love that only us command.
That only us command. So a swipe at Donald Trump and the 51st state. I don't know. I'm not going to lose it today. I'm just going to say I don't get it. I loved the way they did our national anthems when we had games 1 and 2 in Canada at Rogers Place. It was classy, and it was classy for both anthems. I thought the way they did the U.S. national anthem was great as well. And so now, I mean, I know I've heard people saying, well, let's get Anne Murray back out there. She was there in 92, 93 doing the national anthem. All that you really need to do is bring a person there, get the anthem started, and then shut their mic off. Let the crowd do it. Let the crowd, we've seen this happen in at hockey games. We've seen it happen at CFL games. Let the crowd sing it. Because that group of people in Rogers Center are going to be pumped and ready to sing the national anthem tomorrow night, and they will sing it loud, and it will give you chills. You don't need a superstar. Let the crowd sing it, is the way I say it. But anyway, and don't change the words. Let's just respect the fact that we've got words to the anthem. We all know them. Let's sing them. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have lots to talk about. We haven't even dipped back into federal politics. I have Ari on the line who's got something he wants to talk about from civic politics. So it's open lines. Wherever you want to go, we're happy to go there. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, Frank, you got me. I said, I don't know what Rufus Wainwright sings. Well, there you go. Going to a Town. That blistering hit from Rufus Wainwright. Rufus Wainwright sang the national anthem last night, changed the lyrics again. Thank you to the people that are chiming in. And I'm not just thanking you if you're agreeing with me, but yeah. Sean in Weyburn says, national anthems, terrible. Happened in California, the wokest of woke states. Both singers, Grammy Award winners. Tells you all you need to know about Grammy Awards. The national anthem should be respected and sang correctly. It's a privilege for those singers, and Canadians should be very upset that they changed the words. Yeah. Bobby, I don't like what you're saying here. Our friend Bobby from Saskatoon, she texts in regularly. She says, the national anthem, it's a new world. The old rules no longer apply. Well, it's a hard pill to swallow. I agree. Thank you for that. Here, this is a good text. John in Saskatoon, our anthem is not someone's personal song they get to use to promote their own ideology, whether or not I agree with that ideology. I'm tired of this garbage. I feel the same way about people that modify our flag for their cause. It's not theirs. It's all of ours. Terry, Evan, I agree 100% on the anthem topic. Game one was amazing. I was so proud of our country hosted such a performance. Since then, the singers have embarrassed our country, disgraced our anthem. Yeah. And why do they all have to sing it at a funeral pace? It was written at a march tempo. That's funny. That's a good text. Thanks, thanks, Terry. By the way, I said this to Frank off air. Just one more little tidbit. My opinion on the Jays is I have also fallen in love with Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez. Those two guys, I love the combo. I love Buck. Like, I've seen Buck speak a couple of years ago. He was in Saskatoon at that Kinsmen dinner that they do. And he was by far the best speaker there. He's got so many great stories. And so having him in that color commentator role, I mean, that's a way for him to talk about and tell those stories. And yeah, he's got a goofy voice, but that's what makes it unique. And it's fun listening to them have fun during this series. You can tell they're right into it. They appreciate it. And I feel like that adds to it for us as well. So appreciate that. 1-877-332-8255. The phone lines are open, and they are open lines. So we every day give you the opportunity to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. With Ari in Saskatoon, quite often it's civic politics, and I expect that's the case today. But before we do that, Ari, are you following the Jays?
I have not followed baseball since Hupie ran the bases.
Really?
Really. Yeah. No, it's just not my thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of people that are not baseball fans that find themselves plunked down watching these games, but not you. You've resisted the urge.
You know what? I'm glad people are excited, and I hope that it becomes the be-all and end-all and creates Canadian unity and ends tariffs and stops wars. when they win. But, yeah, let's be realistic here. It's just a game.
Okay, just a game, but I'm hyped up. Except about the national anthems. Don't get me back there. Okay, what do you got on your mind, Ari?
So, warming shelters in Saskatoon. Yesterday, City Council approved $1 million purchase to buy an old vacant Indian restaurant, Indian as in India, like food restaurant, right next to the Salvation Army shelter downtown. Okay. Now, forget the fact that the guy who runs the shelter, the Salvation Army shelter, says this is a bad idea. This is a man who has tons of experience working with this, knows the landscape daily, but city administration says this is a better place for it right next to that. Step back for a bit. Go a couple of blocks away. The city owns the old STC building, the old transportation depot. They own that. A previous owner gutted it. It is a blank, empty space. And I actually got a response from the city saying, well, it's not sufficient because it doesn't have washrooms and it doesn't have a kitchen and it doesn't have any of these kind of things. But they're taking $1 million to renovate and rebuild a restaurant that's going to have how many issues when it comes to when they start pulling walls out?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why? There's something that doesn't jive here.
Well, there's got to be plumbing in that STC building. I mean, if they gutted it, maybe there's not an actual washroom, but the plumbing's there for it.
Well, and here's the thing. Let's say that they take, and it's federal money. It's not like Saskatoon money, so that's at least a small savior bit to it. But they're calling $200,000 for renovations and $800,000 to buy the building. $200,000 for the STC building, and they claim it doesn't have sufficient lighting, and it doesn't have a kitchen, it doesn't have a bathroom. Porta potties, temporary lighting, and food delivery service. A caterer could come in and bring drop-off meals a day, because that's what's happening at the STC shelter, right? They don't have a commercial kitchen. They have their food brought in. So what I don't understand is what's missing here. And, I mean, I'm dealing with my counselor, Holly Kelleher. Call her up, Evan. I'd love to have her come on air and explain for the city why they can't spend $200,000 and open this tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Because now they're saying, oh, it's going to be another month or so before that, minimum, before that other thing can be ready. Well, if you've ever done a bathroom renovation and the project says 2 weeks, it's not two weeks.
No, it's not 2 weeks, and the cold weather is not going to wait.
No, and so if we're lucky, it'll open up the end of January. Well, they've been talking, Cynthia Block talked about this in April, saying city council has to have a plan. So it's very questionable. Their experts are right there.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up, Ari. I've made a note of it here. By the way, when we're talking STC building and STC, there's two STCs. There's the old STC, the transport company, and then there's the Saskatoon Tribal Council. So when Ari used the acronyms a couple of times, just so that people understand, there's multiple prongs that come into this whole warming center conversation. Okay, let's take a break, but we're far from done. Open lines going right until 10 o'clock. Lots of time to hear from you, whatever you would like to talk about. Jays, the budget, the federal budget next week. Is it going to trigger an election? 1-877-332-8255. Should we be dropping the EV tariffs? I had a guest at 8:30 this morning who said, no, we shouldn't be because of national security. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that and more when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Did we really go from Rufus Wainwright to Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? That's a hard right turn, Frank. Well, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us, Evan Bray. Great to have you back here on the program. Lots of people weighing in. The national anthem thing is definitely on people's minds, and I appreciate everyone's comments on this. You know, some people are saying, why don't they get like a talented local person who can just go out there and belt the anthem? And I said, like, Tegan Littlechief. Have you heard Tegan? I mean, she is an absolute beast when it comes to our national anthem, and a proud Saskatchewanian. I've heard Tegan do the national anthem at Rider games. I've heard it at numerous events. She is incredible. She would be so good. The fans would love her. The fans would sing along with her. Yeah. 1-877-332-8255. And lots of people on the text line, Stan and Swift Current, I'll give you an example, said, can you imagine the uproar if a singer changed the words of the American anthem? They would hang them. But in Canada, you know, we're complacent and nothing happens. Ron in Saskatoon, we allow ourselves to be walked over. Same thing. If the singer changed the anthem in the States, so different. 1-877-332-8255. One of the questions I threw out off the start is, are the current Toronto Blue Jays a team of destiny? And I know Kendall in Cabri is a big fan. What do you think? Is this destiny, Kendall?
Well, yeah, I've been watching since the Bautista days. That's when I got hooked.
Right.
And I, you know, we stuck it out through the slump of many, many years and it got teased for being a fan and whatnot. And there's definitely, people say, what's special about this team? And I have a little insight on that, I think. I think the media team, Buck and Dan and Hazel and everybody, they do such a phenomenal job of connecting the viewers with the players and giving us their background story and how they came up and who they came up with and
right.
and what their struggles have been. And you feel like you're part of the team. And
yeah.
and last year I spent, 2024, I spent in cancer treatment and chemotherapy and I forced all my family that was helping me, my mom staying with me to watch the games, and now they're right into it. They know the players. We're texting, you know, my family who previously didn't watch ball. I've got them hooked. And I really believe that it's that media team. And I think the players too, they understand that it's the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that it's not just Toronto. And I think for those of us out west, we thrive on that because we feel seen when they show gratitude to the whole country.
What a great perspective of this. Kendall, I truly appreciate you calling in. I think everything you said is bang on. I was talking about how much I love Dan Schulman, Buck Martinez, but Hazel is great. I mean, they've assembled a really good team. I saw someone on the text line said, I agree, Schulman and Martinez are great, but I think they should let Martinez call every home run. You know, get up, ball, get out. You know how he does that. And it's he gets pretty pumped up and excited. 1-877-332-8255. Lots to talk about. Jay's just one of the topics. Let's go back to the phone lines. I have Daryl in Saskatoon. Daryl, what's on your mind today?
Well, Kevin, I'm following up on the Saskatoon Star Phoenix letters to the editor section that's still not in the paper and not being run here in Saskatoon.
Yes.
Did you do any follow-up on that?
So we actually sent an email to the Star Phoenix, and they basically, you know, they got back to us and said that they will publish letters on more of an ad hoc basis is essentially what they said, rather than having it as a kind of a regular standing. I'm assuming it's part of the transformation of the publication.
Right. Do you think there's any way of putting some further pressure on them in some way?
Well, you know, I mean, it's basically what you're saying, Daryl, is people need to be able to have their views expressed in a way that other people can read. And you know, it just opens the scope. Is that your point?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a staple for a lot of us, you know, in the early morning, catching up on our, you know, local news and issues and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an important conduit for us citizens here in Saskatoon.
Well, there's nothing that says we couldn't get someone from the Star Phoenix, like have an actual phone conversation with their editor and talk about, you know, where they're at with that decision. Yeah. I mean, we could follow up and see if that's a possibility.
That's an excellent idea. I look forward to it, Evan.
Okay, good stuff. Well, and in the meantime, Daryl, your opinions are always welcome here. And I know you feel comfortable calling in, so thank you for that. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of stuff going on right now. Donald Trump, of course, meeting. He is part of the summit of world leaders that are meeting in South Korea right now. He basically just did some press where he said he had a good, nice visit with Mark Carney.
Anything on Canada?
We had a very nice conversation with him last
Saturday. Thank you.
Yeah, that was about it. We had a nice conversation with him. Now, he was much more effusive in his appreciation for the meeting that he had with the Chinese president.
I thought it was an amazing meeting. He's a great leader. On fentanyl, we agreed that he was going to work very hard to stop the flow. As you know, I put a 20% tariff on China because of the fentanyl coming in, which is it's a big tariff. And based on the statements today, I reduced it by 10%, so it's 10% instead of 20%. But all of the rare earth has been settled, and that's for the world. I mean, you know, worldwide.
Right.
I thought it was a great meeting. I think it was a very friendly meeting. It was a good meeting for two very large, powerful countries.
So, you know, his attitude is pretty positive. Donald Trump feels like it was a very good meeting. The president of China, Xi Jinping, also walked out of the meeting projecting, I would say, a powerful confidence. You know, Chinese monopolies on rare earths, they've got big purchasing power over the U.S. when it comes to soybeans. So they, of course, leveraged both of those. And they won some concessions from Washington as well, a reduction in tariffs, suspension of port fees on Chinese ships, delay of U.S. export controls that would have barred more Chinese firms from accessing American technology. And both sides agreed to extend a truce struck earlier this year to limit tariffs. That sounds like a trade deal to me, folks. That sounds like two leaders that sat down despite their very vast differences and were able to hammer out, even if it's an interim deal, it's a trade deal. And we wait. Continue to wait. That Doug Ford ad, many people will still point to and say, has not helped us. It has set us back. You know, it's interesting because there's been a lot of back and forth since that ad came out. The fallout continues. U.S. Ambassador Pete Hoekstra has been called upon to apologize for lashing out at David Patterson, who is basically the Ontario's trade representative in Washington. They were at a meeting together, and I have yet to find actual audio of this, but apparently it was a tirade, like a tirade. He swore at him. He was aggressive. He was throwing insults all about that ad that Ontario took out. Of course, using Ronald Reagan, we know what that one is all about. Meanwhile, David Patterson, I don't know much about this fellow, but he remained very, very calm. And when reporters asked Doug Ford about this, you know, in true Doug Ford fashion, he basically said, come on, Pete, you got to apologize.
Come on, Ambassador. He's a guy. You know something? I like him. Pete, you got to call Dave up and apologize. It's simple. You know, the cheese slipped off the cracker. I get it. You're ticked off. But call the guy up because you're a good guy, and Dave's my champion. The guy is just instrumental in these trade deals down in Washington. And, you know, something, people get hot. They get heated. I get heated sometimes. But just call the guy up and bury the hatchet, because the ambassador is a good guy, actually. I love Dave. I like the ambassador. So he knows what to do. Come on, Pete, you've been around for before Moses. Call the guy up and apologize. Let's start getting back on track.
So
simple as that.
What is that? 46 seconds. You've been around before Moses. Bury the hatchet. The cheese slipped off the cracker. I mean, he's got them all lumped in there, doesn't he? 1-877-332-8255. Lines are open. Still people chiming in on the national anthem. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up our open lines. And by the way, getting ready for a great roundtable discussion at 10. I've got three great guests, and we're going to be talking tariffs. What's changed? What's the philosophy? What's the impact? Lots of great discussion there as well. But open lines, one more segment, one more opportunity for your thoughts here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
He is a brown and the sky is a hazy shade of winter.
Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. National anthem talk seems to be dominating the text line now. In fairness of making sure we're showing all sides of this, I'm going to read Cody's text. Cody from Fort Capel is telling me you got to chill on the anthem talk. Cody says we have one singer standing up for Indigenous people, another one representing our sovereignty on a very popular high ratings national stage. It's great for Canada and great that we can vibe our collective cool, calm demeanor, which defines us as Canadians. I think it would be sick if people wanted to hang us for changing the words to the anthem. Everyone needs to chill. Cody, Fort Capel. I want to stand up for Canada. I want to stand up for Indigenous people, and I'm proud and will constantly do that, but I will not change the words to our national anthem. Not that I will ever be asked to sing the national anthem. No one wants to hear that. I just don't like changing the words. Dave in Assiniboia agrees with me there, said, I think these, quotation, entertainers forget their place. It's an honor to be asked to lead citizens in the singing of the national anthem, especially on foreign soil. 1-877-332-8255. Bryn from Saskatoon says, I think everyone messing with our anthem shows the reverence and respect people don't have for this country. Here at home, Trudeau stomped all over our anthem and institutions. Now everyone thinks they can do the same. It's sad. We need to get back to being serious. We need to stand firm. We need not to give in to everyone who demands we bend to their whims. If you don't stand for something, you fail. Fall for everything and anything. That's what's happening in Canada. Bryn. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines now. I'm going to grab this call from Larry in Saskatoon. Larry, thanks for calling in. You listened to the chat we had this morning with Tasha Carradine from the National Post, and you've got some thoughts.
I'd give her a hug for her coverage there. She was actually addressing the issue, which is very important to the Trump administration, and that is national security, and that extends up to Alaska. And as, of course, we're talking about Chinese Communist Party influence, even in the electronic vehicles, why that's, they don't want to have them there. But the question, which is a really obvious one, because most countries, I think, in the world have a foreign agent registry. Canada doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you keep wondering, well, why wouldn't we? And I'm going because Prime Minister Mark Carney and the entire Liberal caucus would have to be listed on it.
So, you know, that's, I'm smiling as I'm listening to you, Larry, because I've seen a couple of texts on the text line after Tasha Carradine made that statement today, essentially suggesting the same thing, feeling as if the Liberal government is snuggled with China. It's going to be interesting. Mark Carney meeting with China. We know that Trump met with China. Are we going to get any steps closer to, and especially if it doesn't involve dropping the EV tariffs, which many people suggesting would not be the right way to go. You know, we chatted earlier, in fact, right after our conversation with Tasha Carradine, we talked about whether or not when the budget is presented next week, it will result in an approval vote. It's because it's ultimately a confidence vote. So if it doesn't approve, it technically triggers an election. I still don't think there's a chance that's going to happen because don't forget abstentions. So people that don't have to, you don't have to vote for it, but you can abstain. That could put the number over the top as well. Randy in Saskatoon says, in regards to a non-confidence vote, your guest saying it wouldn't be good right now because of Christmas. My thinking is, what a better Christmas gift Canadians could receive than getting rid of Carney and his cronies. Randy, I know there's a lot of people that would agree it would be great to see an election triggered. I mean, just to see the, just to see it play out, right? Budget is presented, not supported enough to pass, triggering an election. I guess the question is, it's not even as much about from a hassle perspective, do you want to have to endure an election through winter and Christmas? The question is, would it yield different results and would those results be favorable? Has Mark Carney done enough to lose votes if there was an election held, and the Conservatives, would they pick up those votes in a way that would change government? Would it stay the same? Would it be a majority government? I mean, there's so many different factors to think about. And so from a timing perspective, you know, Randy's text is well taken. Some people would say this is the best Christmas gift ever. I just wonder what the result would be. And I, for the life of me, I don't feel like it would be necessarily a drastic change. As I look out the window to see snow flurries expected off and on throughout the day today, wind, cool. So yeah, not great. Not good for Halloween tomorrow either. Feel bad for the little trick-or-treaters that are going to be out and about. It might mean less interruptions for you while you're watching the ball game to go answer the door for the trick-or-treaters, perhaps. But yeah, the weather going to be fairly cool tomorrow for Halloween. Okay. We wrap up open lines, but we're going into 1 hour of tariff talk. It's a tariff roundtable, and I've got guests from all different walks of life that are going to be joining us. Ian Lee from Carleton University, business professor. Prabha Ramaswamy, who is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce, and Bill Huber, president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities, all joining us for a tariff roundtable next here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.